Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and live from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. This is ScaryCast. I'm Dr. John Stamey. So glad to be on here tonight. We've got an extra special guest. We have a filmmaker who has all but single-handedly created a genre, and that is the genre of analog horror, and his name's Aidan Chick. He will be with us very, very shortly. Dr. Trey Donaway, the Surgeon General of ScaryCast, he is in Maine having a wonderful time with his lovely wife. Robin, the Queen of ScaryCast, she was helping a sick friend today. Devin is on his way back from Kansas and will not be with us. And the Amazing Velvet is busy. He has a hall pass. So tonight, it is me, Dr. John, with my co-host, becoming more of a co-host, the amazing professor of wrestling, Steve Logan, Stellar Steve. How are you doing tonight, Steve?
Oh, I'm doing good. Just glad I could be on and talk about horror.
We're glad to have you. You've helped do some of the research for this. And you even got me a good link for this film, The Interloper. I don't want to talk about it too much because that is it's a short film by Aidan Chick. The Interloper is without a doubt, it's a classic already. It is a fine, fine film, and we want to talk with him about this. Now, last night, we're just kind of waiting for Aidan to get here because he will be here momentarily. Last night, Steve and I were on Pro Wrestling Interviews. We had a blast. We had the great Sinister. Sinister was with what wrestling? How high did he go? Was he with ECW?
Yeah, I believe so. Either him or LA Tank. I know Sinister tried out Power Plant years ago, but I think it might have been LA Tank that worked ECW, but
I was just wondering if it wasn't also Sinister, because I'll go ahead and let the cat out of the bag. When we do the Carolina Wrestling Hall of Fame inductions this coming February, Sinister will be inducted. Again, this is the Aidan Chick Show. This is about analog horror. We're just waiting for him to get here. I don't want to talk about anything about analog horror until he gets here, because he is the man. He, I believe, as close to single-handedly invented the genre. There was very little when he got in it, and he's done just such a marvelous job. And I'll be saying that again when he gets on here. He knows the number to call. So we're excited to have him, and we're excited, to have Steve Logan with us. Steve is also right now becoming an MMA aficionado. He is learning about MMA. Is that correct, Steve?
I'm slowly training in jiu-jitsu, which is one of the main martial arts in MMA. But I haven't looked into amateur fights, but there is jiu-jitsu tournaments that come to Virginia maybe once or twice a year. I think there's going to be one in October, but I'm not sure if I'm going to that one. But it was fun to go to the competition in Midlothian, Richmond Championships. That was pretty fun to attend to, and see a local wrestler there, too, who competed in the women's fights and won a couple of no-gi fights, and so far it's been pretty fun. I can't wait to get back in the gym again and roll with my school.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Steve. So many people that love independent wrestling are also in to ScaryCast and horror and the paranormal. Have you noticed that?
People that follow independent wrestling?
Yes, I've noticed that they're so interested, and I get a lot of cross promotion, I guess, crossover over there.
Yeah.
Yes, and have a lot of folks liking the you know one and the other. So it's just really kind of cool. I like it a lot. And
well, it seems like there's a lot of horror in wrestling lately, especially on WWE. There's I think they kind of don't do it right lately, but they've been doing a lot of supernatural horror in wrestling, and our friend Stro kind of, you know, has a macabre horror theme to his work. So,
he does a great job. I have seen him do some very effective things with Dorothy, his crazy little girl. All right, our guest of honor, truly, is coming on, and I'll click him on. Aiden Chick, how are you doing tonight?
Hello. Hi. Can y'all hear me?
We are glad to have you here.
Great.
We have refrained from talking about analog horror other than saying you truly seem to be one of the enablers of this entire genre, which means you're one of the few people we've ever had on ScaryCast. I would say we've had Conrad Brooks, and we've had Ed Wood, and we've had you. You are the three most important enablers of a genre that we've ever had. So anyway, it's a pleasure, and it's an honor to have you on ScaryCast. It really is.
Oh, thank you. That means a lot, honestly. I'm quite flattered by that, actually. I mean, I've just been doing it for a long time, like ever since this thing kind of cropped up, you know, Local 58 appeared, and then I just started making stuff, so I don't really know. It's kind of surreal to think about it.
Well, yeah, right. And I've got some questions. Now, Steve Logan, Professor Wrestling, is with us. Steve is into horror. He is into the supernatural. He is one of my very close friends in the broadcast world, and we're so glad to have him. Steve is not part of the normal crew. I let the normal crew have off for tonight. Trey Donaway, I allowed him to go to Maine with his wife and go have some fun up there at a couple of events. Robin McCray, the queen of ScaryCast and our psychic, she is helping a friend who has been sick all day. Devin Tate is traveling back from Kansas, and the Amazing Velvet has a hall pass. He is a little under the weather. So I'm so glad that Steve Logan is with me and with us. And I want to get right down to some questions because very few of our fans know about this. In fact, the reason I know about analog horror, and Aiden, let me tell you the quick story. Steve Logan and I chat back and forth all the time. And he sent me a message. He said, "What in the hell is this?" And it was a link to your documentary. And I said,
"Oh yeah.
Who knows?" No, let me tell you the whole story. I think you're going to love how this turned out. I said, "Who knows?" And I said, "Whatever." And I was busy that day and the next day, and I said, "Analog horror. Well, maybe it's cool. I don't know." So what happened was I took a look at your documentary. And this is truly, it hasn't been since the Beatles and the Monkees that I have been this blown away by anything, and I am dead serious. This is the kind of stuff that I always wanted to see. The old Weather Channel stuff that turns into an element of horror. And, I mean, this is one of the great things I have ever seen. And I have just gone berserk crazy over it. I can't believe I was able to find you to get you on here. And, God, I know I'm sounding like a little fangirl here, but it's about the truth. We are huge fans of what you've done. And I told Steve before the show went on, I said, "Steve, I want this guy to understand that we are his biggest fans. And I just want you to understand that because it is so cool." And my first question is, who are you? What do you do? If you don't mind telling us, who are you and what do you do? During the week, the month, the year?
I'm actually a college student. I actually study film, but I mostly produce music. Like, people don't, like, know that when they like find my series on YouTube, it's like, oh yeah, you know, you feel like a filmmaker. I mean, technically, like that's what I go to school for. I go to school for film, but I actually spend most of my time making music. One of my like aliases has about 20,000 monthly listeners on Spotify. That's what I do. But I like to do this film stuff, this analog horror stuff as a hobby as well. And, yeah, I don't have like a lot of time to produce, you know, the analog horror videos anymore. I have few hours out of the week really to work on stuff. So it ends up taking like months to produce an episode. This is why it's like kind of a long way between the Eventai Media Center right now. But yeah, that's me in a nutshell pretty much.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Eventide Media Center later. As we kind of go chronologically, yeah. I went through your documentary, and Steve has gone through it a couple of times. I have too, and I've got some questions. Now, first of all, I'm going to ask you some surprise questions, and I hope you won't mind.
Okay.
First of all, you love analog horror. I hope you love analog horror, do you?
Yeah, it's funny because, like, I love just making it. A lot of the time, the community and there's just a lot of stuff in there that, like, it can get hard. Yeah, it's hard to deal with a lot of these people sometimes. And at the end of the day, I really just like making it. So, yeah, that's really it. I like analog horror. I really like the aesthetics. I love the whole idea of it. And, yeah, so I don't think I'll ever stop making it.
Thank God you're not. I mean, you can't because we're gonna help you. We're Scary Cast is gonna definitely promote analog horror. It's a great genre. Now, here's the interesting question: are you from Bucks County, Pennsylvania?
I'm close to Bucks County. Oh well, right now I'm in Philadelphia. I'm based in Philadelphia, but yeah, I'm from New Jersey.
Okay, well, when I was doing real estate development up there. Have you ever been to Doylestown?
Yes, Doylestown is the God. I referenced it in one of the towns for Tempest. I forget the name of it, but yeah, Doylestown was a reference in one of the Tempest universes.
There is a really really great restaurant in the middle of Doylestown, in the middle of downtown. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's still there. We used to eat there every week when we were up there. Is it still there? I can't remember the name. But
I've only been to Doylestown like once or twice, so I haven't been there.
When I get back up there on a vacation, on an analog horror vacation, please help me find that restaurant. It was the best food in the world, and I'll take you out on my nickel for that one, okay?
Okay.
All right. Now, I guess what I'll say is you talked about the found footage genre. Can you describe that a little bit, and where did it come from, and where is it going? I mean, you mentioned Blair Witch.
Yeah, I did. I'm not, like, the biggest, like, historian in like, found footage. I really, where my knowledge goes back is, like, Blair Witch. But, like, it became a big thing on the internet, and, like, when YouTube, you know, became a thing. And that was, you know, when Marble Hornets showed up, and I think Marble Hornets was the real catalyst for these kinds of series to start appearing on the internet. And Marble Hornets.
Marble Hornets, yeah.
Yeah, Marble Hornets is really interesting because it's such a genius idea if you think about it. It's basically these tapes, these tapes that were from a group of student filmmakers who were filming a movie one summer or something like that out in the woods, and the tapes depict Slenderman in them, and that whole idea, and just watching this whole all these events unfold through the eyes of this camera is just such a great idea. It's actually really scary still. I think it's just a great series. It's still terrifying to watch, even though it's Slenderman. Like, people make fun of it, it's like, oh, Slenderman's not really scary anymore, but like the way they pulled off on this was like, it felt real, you know. So yeah,
now,
I really love it.
I don't want to hear
John.
I don't want to hear. Yes, Steve.
Speaking of found footage, the first, like, the most disturbing found footage I watched, I think, was, it may be the earliest, besides Blair Witch, is Cannibal Holocaust, and that came out in 79. And I think they had to promote it kind of like Blair Witch, where the cast, like, you know, had to pretend they were dead, and there was, like, real animal abuse, I think, involved, and the film director got in a lot of trouble for, you know, people believing in it. So I wanted to mention that film, and I also wanted to mention, since we're talking about Slender Man, I know he's in video games, but this other video game that's found footage that really made an impact, I think, is Manhunt, because you kind of have a director's view somewhat in that game, where you're kind of being videotaped throughout, kind of doing a lot of, a lot of murdering in that game. So I wanted to mention those two, pieces of film, video game, while we were talking about found footage. But John, please continue.
Yeah, thank you. And Aiden, I want to put a connection that very few people do. ScaryCast is about the paranormal. And, for example, our co-host, Devin Tate, has got a story where he has seen Slender Man. And he said he was terrified. And he has detailed the thing four or five times on the show. He gives us the exact same details. And that's how I judged a story, is do we hear the same story every time? Well, we do, especially from Devin.
Right.
And the fact is, a lot of this stuff that you do in your in your film has a correlation with real paranormal events, and that's the one thing that I want to talk about, especially tonight, is how what you've done really does it does mirror a lot of paranormal things. So I guess the first question is, define analog horror for us. Give us the definition, because you're the catalyst for this whole genre.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say that to everybody. We have got the godfather of analog horror. Define it for us, and this is going to be this is our forever definition. Scary, isn't it?
Well, it's funny because Chris Straub actually coined the term, but he never defined it, and he only made, Local 58. But he did coin the term, I think, on the Local 58 page. It said analog horror at whatever megahertz. And that's where it started, but it didn't have a definition, really, and you kind of just knew what it was from, like, watching the videos. I kind of made a definition for it. I did propose a definition for it in the analog horror documentary, like, what is analog horror? But I've kind of, like, since then, I've kind of been thinking about it more critically and thinking, well, you can't really define analog horror like that. It's like defining music genre. You can't, it's just nebulous. You can't really define it easily. So, and I actually proposed a different name for analog. We called it screen horror, because what it is, essentially.
Say that again, please.
The screen horror?
The new name. What kind of horror?
Screen horror. And the reason I say this is because, yeah, like a screen, like a television screen. And the reason I say this is because the whole idea of the medium is you're emulating a screen. That's it. That's the only way I can define analog horror, is that you're emulating a screen to create horror. Because people say, what about TV horror? Well, not everything is on a TV. Like, for example, you can make something on a computer and it would still be considered analog horror. Like, you could emulate a web screen. Like internet in the 1990s, right? You could even emulate digital TV and it would still be considered analog horror. So you know what I mean? It doesn't really – the name analog horror is kind of like not the best term, but we just use it because it's easier to say. I think screen horror doesn't really have a ring to it, and it just never caught on. I proposed that recently. It was probably like a few weeks ago I thought of it. But in my opinion – that's really what it is analog horror is just emulating a screen. There's no characters, really. I mean, there can be, but oftentimes that comes in the form of found footage. And you only see those characters through found footage, which is just, footage being displayed through a screen, like an analog screen. So really what it is screen horror, I guess. It's emulating a screen. So that's how I would describe it now.
Would you, would that, John, exclude Poltergeist or The Ring? Because there's obviously some TV screens involved, but could
or loosely defined? Or Steve, just go ahead and add Videodrome with Debbie Harry. Okay.
Right.
All you, it's all you, Aiden.
That's kind of, I think, like, it really depends. Like, if what we're talking about doesn't have, like, it isn't entirely just a screen, and there's, like, actual, like, footage where the camera isn't supposed to be, like, in the world. You know what I mean? Like, in analog horror, the camera itself is part of the story, right? And if that's not the case, if the camera is not part of the story, then it doesn't count. So a lot of found footage could fall under this, like found footage horror could fall under this category, which is why, again, it's harder to find the boundaries. But I think all of what we call analog horror, because I don't like calling it analog horror anymore, because Local 58 is coming out with a digital episode soon, I think, considering all the teasers and everything. And like that doesn't really, this analog horror wouldn't describe that new Local 58 episode, even though it would be technically analog horror. So yeah, it's just anything that emulates a screen, in my opinion. That's how I view it now.
Okay.
So like,
well, all right.
Screen media horror.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good name, screen media horror. Right. Okay, so now tell us about, because, you know, I gave you a list of questions. Of course, we're deviating from them as we learn more from you and learn from Steve and everything. Tell us about Local 58 and weather service and contingency, and you're on the fastest available route is terrifying.
Yeah,
that is terrifying.
Yeah, the first time I watched You're on the Fastest Available Route, actually all three of those, I was like, wow. I don't think I could watch Fastest Available Route like again. Like, I was like looking at it, and I remember thinking, I can't watch this again. I'm not sitting through that. But those three episodes of Local 58, that was all there was. When I started making the videos, that's all I had to work with in terms of like inspiration and stuff. So, you know, like where do you go from there, right? You have three examples of what this genre could be, and it was like, but there were great examples. I mean, Weather Service is like the most classic blueprint for all of analog horror now. It's, you know, an emergency alert system, but, you know, the weather, a strange weather event is happening, and it's, you know, the moon is, you know, causing people to go crazy. That was just absolutely monumental. And same with Contingency, and less so You're on the Fastest Available Route, which is interesting because You're on the Fastest Available Route is the oldest one on YouTube. It was the first one uploaded to the Local 58 channel, even though it's not technically the first entry in the series, but it was the first one uploaded to the channel. And but nobody really, like, took direct inspiration from it for, like, a really long time because I guess it's hard to emulate using, like, the dash cam footage. And it was also so unique. Like, if anybody tried it, it would be like, oh, yeah, you're just knocking off Local 58 at this point. But in the early days of analog horror, that was everywhere. Like, you tried making something, like similar to Local 58, or is anything analog horror, really, was like, you're a Local 58 knockoff. So you just had to deal with that at the time. But Contingency, on the other hand, that was a really interesting video because, you know, it took place in the 60s, early 70s, and it was just, that was terrifying. Really,
I think,
like,
that was my
that idea of, like, the American, you know, setting, I think, because that's, like, almost every analog horror takes place in America, and I think it's because of that video.
Well,
I think,
you know,
that
it's
was
really
my,
interesting.
John, I think that was my first exposure to analog horror was Contingency, Local 58, and pretty disturbing. I think I saw these videos a while back and just didn't know the genre name for it, so pretty glad I came across your essay on Pat Chennington's channel. And
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me and Pat are friends. Yeah.
Well,
I like his content as well. But John, please continue your thought.
No, I just wanted to say about the fastest available route. I have a horror story that I went through because I sell life insurance, and sometimes my GPS will send me down. You would not believe where it will send me, and it was on. It was on a Friday evening. It was getting dark, and it sent me down a dirt road that became a mud road, and I became stuck in it, and it became dark, and I was terrified, and I had to walk about a mile to a mile and a half just to get cell phone signal and to try to get a truck to get me out of there, and I was terrified. I mean, you know, I'm in the darkest of woods. There's no light.
Yeah.
My cell phone's running down at 26, 25, 24, 23%. It was really scary. And I have been through that. And I finally had to get a tow truck. I had to pay him $100 from Hemingway, South Carolina, to come out and tow me out. And then it took me all day the next day to clean my car up. But it was frightening. And that's what I like about it because, I mean, you know, here I am in these woods, and it was like the hills have eyes. Jesus, oh, my God. It was terrifying. So I think I can say this about Local 58. It has something for everybody, don't you think?
Yeah, I would. Yeah, I really like Local 58 because it you know, it tries something different every time. There's a lot of series that don't do that. So, yeah.
Well, this one had something different for me because it reminds me of that evening. And I went out the next day and found another route, sold a life insurance policy. So all's well that ends well. But it was scary. It was terrifying.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And it was an experience that I went through. And it's like, holy shit, he's done it.
Right.
He has captured experience, you know, the nucleus of this experience, and that's what I think is the genius of Local 58. I mean, just when I saw it, I finally figured it out. I said, "Oh my God!" So now we go to Channel 7. I mean, all I got to say is Alpha Alert is a chilling thing. Tell us about Channel 7, because you are in many ways responsible for that. Am I correct? And do you mind me saying?
Yes, I created. Yeah, Channel 7, that was all me. I did every aspect.
So tell us about, what is Channel 7 and what is Tempest Media?
Okay, so Channel 7 and Tempest Film / Tempest Universe Channel 7 is a like mini series that ties into the Tempest universe. But the way it started for me, I was making short films at the time, and I was just, you know, I didn't have any like direction for them. They were just kind of like, you know, whatever we wanted to shoot, we would just go out and shoot. And when I found Local 58, this was like 2017, 2018, I think. So like right after it was uploaded to YouTube, I found it. And I just really liked the concept. It just struck me in a way that like nothing else had. And so I wanted to try to make those kind of things like on my own, like make my own kind of thing. And so that's how Channel 7 came to be. And when I started writing it, actually took a lot of inspiration from real paranormal events and real like cryptid paranormal phenomena and stuff like that, you know. And I just kind of threw it all in there, and I started writing out a whole storyline, and eventually I started making short films, like started writing short films that kind of revolved around that whole universe I had made. I did a few retcons here and there, like, over time to, like, refine it a bit more. But, like, yeah, that's how it started, was Channel 7 really just created the groundwork for this whole, like, thing. And eventually, all the Channel 7 videos up until, like, a certain point tied into this one short film we did. It just, like, wrapped up neatly like that. And that's how it went for a while. We'd make short films, and then it would tie into Channel 7 episodes that I was producing. And then after Channel 7 ended after like 7 months or something, but it got like super popular because no one else was making analog horror at the time. I was the only person making it besides Chris, who hadn't made a video since like since he uploaded the original.
Since whenever, right.
Yeah, so he made Show for Children around that time, and that was the only video that existed. Meanwhile, there was like 20 Channel 7 videos, so that's why people were flocking to Channel 7 at the time. But being me, I was really looking back at it and thinking, I'm just making these Channel 7 videos to tie into this short film series, and they're just like little promos, and I'm like, I don't want it to just be that. I want to like expand that further, expand that idea further. So I ended up just canceling Channel 7 in January of the next year. So it lasted like 7 months in total. A lot of people like were not like happy with that because there were a lot of people who were invested in it. The problem was there were so many aesthetics going on, just so many things I was just combining together in unusual ways that like it didn't really work out. It didn't really make much sense. There's a lot of just ART elements, a lot of like found footage elements, and a lot of just different stuff like that thrown in. It didn't have like an aesthetic like identity really, and that was a big problem for me as the creator. Obviously, if I had kept going with Channel 7, it would have gotten massive, like absolutely massive, because it was growing so fast. But I just ended up canceling it and starting something new just because I didn't like the direction it was going. That's okay. Kind of how Channel 7 went.
All right, now I'm going to stop you. And I want to tell you that The Interloper is one of the most incredible short films I've ever seen. It is terrifying. I am able when I watch films to get invested in them, and I can just buy into them. But your film was so terrifying, I had to stop it 4 times.
Have you seen the other ones, the Lockwood Hills one?
No, I haven't seen everything because I only found Analog Horror 10 days ago. And you and I can talk offline about this. But I'm telling you, The Interloper is one of the most frightening things I have ever seen. Do you know what it really is? That is an old, I mean, it's not, but what you created was an old Outer Limits episode. Do you remember the Outer Limits, or do you know about it?
No.
It is a science fiction series that went for 2 years in 61 and 62. I have seen every episode about 100 times. And they are absolutely, in other words, The Twilight Zone, you're familiar with The Twilight Zone, right?
Yeah, I love The Twilight Zone. Yeah, mm-hmm. A lot of the stuff was inspired by The Twilight Zone.
The Twilight Zone is different. Rod Serling, and I've got a story about Rod Serling I'll tell you, but not tonight. But I mean the Twilight Zone is one genre, but The Outer Limits is, okay, like there's a scientist that decides he wants to become a space alien, and he becomes a sulfur-based whatever, and he gets out of a spaceship and all this kind of stuff, and it is really terrifying when his wife actually sees what he's become, and she is terrified. There's a lot of terror in that old 50s, 60s science fiction on TV stuff. It's just, I mean, we were blessed with Alfred Hitchcock, The Outer Limits, and Rod Serling at the same time on television, and we just don't know how lucky we are. But I'll tell you, The Interloper, I mean, it is clear. I'm going to say something, and please don't take this wrong. You took nothing and made something great out of it. You took no budget. Are you the star of the show? You're the star of it, right?
No, I don't play. No, the actors were all my friends. We filmed all that stuff like when we were in high school. I don't appear in any of them except for Lockwood Hills. I appear in that one as the antagonist character.
And I can't wait to see Lockwood Hills. That's the first thing I'm going to watch.
That one's my favorite, in my opinion. Lockwood
but
Hills.
All I got to say
that's
is
my favorite.
The Interloper,
I think you'll like it.
Was incredible. That is an incredible film. I've watched a lot of films. I know a lot of folks in the film business, and I know what good is.
Mm-hmm.
And sir, that is really good. How many film awards did it win?
We didn't put it anywhere. We just kind of put it on YouTube and we're like, because we were just like screwing around making stuff. And I didn't like, I was like, you know, I didn't really think about like putting it anywhere. I was just like, I'm just going to put it on YouTube, like, and tie it in with the Channel 7 stuff. And that's how it happened, I guess.
Well,
nothing else
I just wanted to say that I had one of the most pleasurable, frightening 23 minutes I've ever had. And I think you did a great job in ending it like a guy that didn't have any money to do it. I mean, I could tell, but I'm looking at things from an economic standpoint. That is a
mm-hmm.
frightening film, and that red light and that poor who is your buddy? What was his name?
So the two actors in there was Matthew and Jacob. I don't remember their character names, but it was my friend.
The one that was your buddy that was on the bicycle.
So the main character was the character on the bicycle is Jacob, and the main character is Matthew.
Okay, Jacob on the bicycle, when he got the headache, and we saw the red light pulsing from the top of that thing. I mean that is pure 1950s horror. And there are a lot of great elements. I mean, it's like, don't mess around with 1950s horror. Those guys knew what they were doing. I mean, thank
yeah,
God we got Dracula. I mean, we got some Christopher Lee Dracula films. We got, what was it? Yeah, we got Godzilla. Jesus Christ, we got
Godzilla.
Yeah, Godzilla. And in case you don't know, Godzilla actually won Best Film, but since it was so close to World War II, they took it out and they gave
mm-hmm.
it to something else. But Godzilla actually won Best Film. And I talked with Harry Medved. He was president of the Screen Actors Guild at that time, and that's something that he didn't tell a lot of people. But I happen to know that Godzilla was the best film of the year, and it was terrifying. Back in those days, you know, what they did was terrifying. And it's like The Brain That Wouldn't Die. Terrifying
mm-hmm.
film. And The Blob starring the great Steve McQueen. Jesus. I mean, what great stars that we had in those films. And they knew how to scare people. And I don't know what happened, but you, pardon my grammar, you scared the fuck out of me.
No, that's
well,
funny
that,
because actually
that,
the Tempest Universe is like, it's like a lot inspired by a lot of those classic horror movies, actually. Like a lot of the monsters and everything, I was really like influenced by a lot of those old movies. The way, like, you know, it was just practical effects and the way they like managed to create something like disturbing out of like, you know, just real objects that they had. Instead of like using computer generated whatever, was so like inspirational to me, and that's, you know, that and just that aesthetic too was hugely inspirational to and influential for the Tempest Universe.
I got a question for Aiden.
Please, Steve.
If you don't mind, John. Which is more difficult for you, making the music for your web series and short films, or making music like that's non-horror music? What's more difficult or more enjoyable?
I like making just actual, like, I make pop music, and I love making pop music. For me, it's harder to make pop music because it's like I spend months on, you know, because I'm like singer-songwriter, write all the lyrics and everything. But the, like, making music for horror is usually just like, you know, you get like this, like a serum patch, and like go down like to like C1 or C0 and just like put it, you know, like a pad and just like drone it. And just something like that. It's that kind of stuff is like pretty rudimentary to make. So you can get pretty complicated with horror music. I've just never like gone into that territory because I haven't made like a lot of short films recently, and I don't really plan on making more short films. So
I enjoy somewhat the creativity that gets involved in ambient and music, and there's a band I like, Flaming Lips. They're pretty big. They even made their own science fiction Christmas film called Christmas on Mars, and the music on that, at least one of the songs from that movie and soundtrack, like really caught my attention, and so that's why I had to ask you about making music for your horror projects, because, you know, just getting that behind-the-scenes detail about making that creepy or ambient music is pretty interesting.
Yeah, definitely.
That's cool. Well, I'll tell you what, Aiden, we've got two other topics to talk to you about. They're both pretty big. The first one is Gemini Home Entertainment, and then Eventide Media. So spend a little time and tell us about Gemini Home Entertainment. It looks like a gigantic leap forward.
It is. It's actually made by my friend Remy Abode. He's a good friend of mine. He started that. Actually, as it wasn't Gemini, it was called Warding 12, I believe. It was the first episode was like an 8-minute long, like an analog horror epic, I guess you could say. It was just like this just massive up video, and he never released it anywhere. He left it unlisted on YouTube, and just sent me and like a few other people the link. And we were like, what is this? It's like this whole broadcast. And it's documenting this large blob out in the middle of a field. It's just so interesting. But that nothing happened out of that except for, I mean, later he then converted that idea into what we now know as Gemini Home Entertainment. And took a lot of, like, risk. I didn't know he was this talented when he actually made that whole video game. What was it called? Lethal Omen.
Did he really? That video
he made
game,
that whole
was,
thing. Him and,
pardon me, it's fuck. That is fucking awesome. That's an unbelievably
really cool
thing.
Yeah, so him and another talented creator, Swift, he goes by Swift on Discord. We don't know his name. We just call him Swift. I've actually worked with him before on some model work, but he did some of the modeling for that. But I think Remy put together the whole I don't know if he used Unreal Engine or something. I think he used Unreal Engine to put that together. I actually had the idea to do a video game for Analog Archives back when I was making that. That was the last episode of Analog Archives. I had that idea like a year, like back way before Gemini was even a thing, and then Remy comes along and does it before I get to it. I'm like, wow, that's a props to you, sir. But I, in my opinion, Gemini Home Entertainment, I love the series. I love what he's doing, especially recently. It's gotten so good. The last episode that he made, with the space probe going into the different moons and ending up inside the iris, is such a 2001 Space Odyssey thing. I love it. It's like psychological.
Actually, that sounds more like, are you familiar with the sequel of 2001, which is 2010?
Oh, I've heard of it. I've never watched it.
That is directly out of That is just directly out of 2010. It was a horrible movie. It was the worst. It was the worst thing. I mean, it was worse than it was worse than three. It was worse than Three's Company. And we even liked Three's Company. I'm sorry. Go ahead, please. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So interesting. There's a lot of just like crazy ideas he's throwing in there. It's just a lot of like bizarre ideas too, like the fact that it's a mild spoiler for that episode, but like once you get inside, it's like visions of like people on Earth. It's like, and it's basically the brain of this planet, and it's like this whole planet is alive. It's absolutely wild, like what he's come up with. And that's actually almost directly inspired by, I don't know if you know this, it's this great web series, or I don't even know if you'd call it a web series, but it's more like a collection of different media items. It's kind of like how I do things, but it's called Mystery Flesh Pit, and I highly recommend checking out the video that Wendy Goon made about it. I actually gave him the idea, and you can see my name in that video too. I'm in the credits.
That sounds like the brain that wouldn't die, which is cool. You know, I believe everything that we do comes from those great 50s horror films.
Oh yeah.
That sounds like it came from the brain that wouldn't die, which is unbelievable. Oh my God. That is nirvana of, you know, between that and The Man That Looked Into the Universe, those are the films that generated the greatest ideas, and we're still using those ideas. So I'll just, you know, I'm just going to say whether they meant to or not, you know, if they're part of the larger psyche of what we can feel and hear, you know, who knows? I'm sorry. I just wanted to say that. I just wanted to give props to the man that could see the universe and the brain that wouldn't die, because they are some of the greatest films, and I hope that you'll watch them sometime and we can have an intellectual discussion about them.
Yeah.
Because I think they're, you know what? I think that cool stuff from the 50s and 60s, the Cape Canaveral monsters, one of the greatest UFO films of all time. I mean, there is great stuff back there, and I hope that we're far enough removed from it that we can appreciate that and see how it may have affected these great things that are being happening now. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
I just think that there's greatness to be attached to the 50s and 60s that's just coming out now. All right, I'll shut up.
Really.
I'm sorry, I talked too much. Okay, it's all you guys. Yes, Steve.
I wanted to ask: is there any cryptids or monsters in Aiden's project that, you know, could be mentioned? Because I figure, I know the Interloper is a character that movie, but is there any thought about using internet cryptids, or because Trevor Henderson Siren Head, that really interested me, and I just wondered if there is a possibility of using internet cryptids in horror web series, even if it wasn't yours, just in general.
So everything that I've made are just, they're inspired by things, but they're all original creations. I wouldn't consider using other people's ideas for my own series. I like to create them from scratch. And recently I've been really thinking deeply about what kind of new kinds of monsters I could create, because at the same time, you know, I'm making these things, I also want to be somebody like Trevor Henderson with this and make my own sort of creatures that have their own mythologies and whatnot. So, if somebody's, I don't know how this would work, because something like Siren Head is, you know, something that's very obviously trying to Trevor Henderson. I wouldn't recommend anybody going out there and making an analog horror video about Siren Head and claiming it as their own. I would definitely say that person would need to, you know, credit Trevor,
I guess,
or ask him.
Yeah, credit or get permission first. But I think I found out about him maybe through Fallout 4 mods and just looking into gaming mods.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what got my interest in him. But it's cool that you might possibly have, you think up your own ideas for monsters or creatures and your own works. Is there any games you'd recommend that are analog-ish, or just games in general that you like that are horror in general?
Okay, so this game's not even horror. I mean, it can sort of be considered horror, but like one of the biggest, I would say, out of every video game that I've played, I don't play many video games anymore, unfortunately. I just don't have time. But the most like inspirational and influential video game I've played that has inspired my series is Earthbound for the SNES. If you don't know this game, it's a classic Nintendo like JRPG, but it's it takes place in suburban America, or like a, you know, a fictionalized America, and it gets kind of disturbing at the end. And you don't think it from the start. It looks like the Peanuts. Have you guys ever played this game or know about it, Earthbound?
Can you repeat the name again?
Earthbound.
No, I have not, but I'm gonna have to look it up after.
Yeah, look it up. Earthbound is like cult classic Nintendo game, but it's like in Mother 3 too, Earthbound 2, Mother 3, same thing. It was called Mother in Japan, so there's actually three. There's Mother 1, which is not the same as Earthbound. Mother 2, which is Earthbound, because Earthbound was the only one of the series that was localized here in the West, and Mother 3. Mother 3 probably has the hardest-hitting story. But in my opinion, Earthbound was just the most influential, just because of how it's goofy at times, but it could also be like really serious and a lot of times really messed up. There's a lot of creatures in that, and like a lot of like monster designs that I really love. And the main antagonist, Gygus, is this just eldritch monstrosity. And that, like, the themes and ideas from that game have inspired everything I've done, pretty much. So if you want one video game that I recommend that like kind of captures what I do, that'd be Earthbound.
That's pretty cool. I didn't know that. Such a, you know, 90s game would inspire you to, you know, influence your words. That's pretty cool. And it's cool that it's a JRPG, because I have a friend that plays, I guess, JRPGs, Final Fantasy type stuff. But has J-horror influenced you at all? Because that's something that I'm somewhat interested in. I recently rewatched Audition, but it's more a torture romance type movie. But yeah, any thoughts on J-horror in general?
I wish I could say that, because like I love Japanese stuff. Like, I would say, okay, you know Junji Ito, right?
Oh yes, like I need to.
The manga artist.
I really want to binge into him, because I'm really looking forward to whenever that that Uzumaki anime comes out, because
I've read some of that.
Pretty creepy.
Yeah. Gio, Remina, and Uzumaki. I need to get a few others in my collection, but God, those are so good. Those have really inspired Eventai Media Center. All of Junji Ito's work. I feel like I'm learning to like it. Traditional cinema now, and like I'm just more into like anime and manga, so that's why I spend my time like watching and consuming besides music, of course. So yeah, like asking me about horror stuff is usually gonna end in like I like, you know, this Japanese thing, but like not any like normal like American stuff anymore. So yeah, Junji Ito, great work from him. Just love his stuff.
And
yeah,
it's really
I'm
interesting.
Looking forward to that Adult Swim anime, but John, please continue.
No, I was going to say, if you ask me about horror films, I'll say The Interloper is truly one of my favorite films. I've never seen anything like that. It's just, you know, I disliked both of the caricatures. Or both of the characters so much, I disliked them. It made it a great film. You got to either love the characters or hate them, right?
Yeah.
I didn't like either one of them. Especially the dude on the bicycle. He was just like, oh my God, so annoying. But anyway, you got to the last question that I had, which is Eventide Entertainment. Is that the current project for you?
Yeah, that's Eventide Media Center is the current anthology thing that I'm doing, an anthology analog horror project. I say that like loosely because it takes place in Massachusetts, at least the first season does, in a fictionalized Massachusetts with all these fictional towns and places that are like kind of weird and kind of off. And each video takes place in a different one. And I'm like, it making it so that each video kind of tackles a different storyline makes it so I can just think of like anything and make each video its own kind of thing that stands alone. And it just enables me a more creative freedom, I guess, with this series.
Well, it's a creepy looking building, I'll tell you that. What is,
yeah.
Is that a building and you changed the name on the top or whatever?
Yeah, that's like an old library. I messed around with it and added that little eyeball. the thing about Eventide Media Center is I actually like a fair bit of like humor in it, like black humor in it. And people are like confused by that, I think. I think a lot of people, when they come and watch this series, they're expecting to be like terrified out of their mind. And it's like got this aesthetic to it. It's got this little bit of charm to it instead of just being purely like terrifying. Like, like you're not going to sleep for a week. No, it's got this charm to it. It's got this black humor. That's like part of why I like making it is it's got this, its own identity, I feel like, as opposed to other series where people just try so hard to be scary. You know, I'm going for the more surreal side of this with this project.
Yeah, I haven't seen any of the Eventide Media. As I said, 10 days ago I found out about Analog Horror, and I have been blessed with some of the great work that you've done, and I really have been, and especially the what is your film? The Interloper. Yeah, that was just too frightening for words tonight. So anyway, we have, I believe I can say on behalf of Steve and myself, we have really enjoyed talking to you tonight about Analog Horror. Steve, the floor is open to you. Any comments you'd like to make to our fantastic guest?
I enjoy talking to Aiden and getting to talk about other interests, and look forward to having him on at a later date. So thanks for having me on, and glad Aiden can come on tonight.
Great. And Aiden, thank you for being with us. I normally do a call around with our guests to see what they thought. So you'll be on the call around here first.
Oh,
and I wanted,
and
yes, Steve.
I wanted to mention. I really enjoyed that essay video that I sent to John. I mentioned it earlier, but Pat Chang's channel. So I like his music videos on there. Some of the more niche and extreme type music that he discusses, and the, I'll have to check out more of Aiden's film projects and pop music. So those are my final thoughts, John.
All right. Well, we appreciate you being with us, and we'll have you back again soon whenever your schedule allows. And Aiden,
okay.
It was a privilege to have you. I think we're kind of big fans of yours, and keep doing what you're doing. We appreciate it. And what would you like to say in closing?
Thank you for having me on. It was interesting. It was fun to talk about all this stuff for an hour or so. It's always a fun time. I would like to say that I'm working on more stories. Earlier today, I was just like an hour ago, I was working on, like 2 hours ago, I was working on the new video for Eventide Media Center. That's happening. I just want to thank everybody who supports the content, watches my stuff. It means a lot. I spent a lot of time on it. So, yeah, that's about it. Thanks for having me, guys.
Well, you're welcome. And I tell you what, would you come back and talk to us again?
Yeah, I would. Yeah.
Well, great. Well, look, thanks a lot. We really appreciate it. Steve, thank you very much for being here with us. You're always a great co-host. Aiden Chick, I'm going to say one of the founders of Analog Horror. You've done a monumental job with what you've what's gone on, and we look forward to having you back. So everybody, thanks for being here with us on ScaryCast. We'll see you next week. Next week is John LeMay from Roswell, and he'll be talking about all kinds of creepy stuff from there. So anyway, look forward to having everybody with us with John LeMay next week. We've had a great time with Aiden Chick, and we'll be back again on the one, the only, ScaryCast.